If you open up your Bible to John, the book of John. Sometimes in life, to go forward, you have to go backwards a little bit. And I don't mean digressing. I mean returning. We all love when we go someplace. Maybe we grew up and we return there, and we always love to see how we're shocked at some of the things that are changed. Sometimes, if you grew up in a small town, how big that town was when you were little, you go back and visit it, and it's like, gee, I didn't know this town was so small. But that's because when you're little, you had to walk everywhere or take the bus, you know, or ride your bike. We're adults, we get in our cars, our planes, our trains, planes and automobiles. But every so often, we have to return. And the scripture says to return to your first love. Remember that which was from the beginning. I think there's something within our makeup. We forget about those days of first beginnings, of falling in love with Jesus. So it's not a digression to go back, but it's a remembrance of that which was the thing that meant the most in our lives and in our hearts. John chapter 1. Verse 19. This is the testimony given by John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny it, but confessed, "I am not the Christ. I am not the Messiah." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you? Let us have an answer for those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He says, "I'm the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, "Why then are you baptizing if you are neither the Messiah nor Elijah nor the prophet?" And John answered them, "I baptize you with water. Among you stands one whom you do not know, the one who is coming after me. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandal." This took place in Bethany across the Jordan where John was baptizing. If you've ever had to fill out a resume and attach it to a job application, you usually don't put down the things that you're not. You say things and put down things, work experience, you know, this life experience, whatever. And it's always this is who I am, and this is what I do, and this is what I've accomplished. And yet when they came to John, I've always been captured by the words that are used in the scriptures. It says he confessed and did not deny it. He didn't wait for men to accuse him or ask him if he was Christ. He said, "Listen, I am not him. The one that brings the life is the Lord Jesus." In other words, with John, I don't even know, you know, he said, "I don't even know, I'm the voice crying in the wilderness. I'm not this, I'm not that, and I'm not the other thing." It's only Jesus. He's the one. And I remember looking back, that's all I was told when I came to the Lord. All I was told was how much God loves us and how much he loved me. And that was it. That was the deal. But we have to be careful and make sure that we're pointing people to the right person. I know churches today, Well, they're different. The term megachurch and all that, and I was invited to a service a while back, and I walked in, and there was the coffee shop and the bookstore and dinner and all these things lined up, which are all good in and among themselves, but they're not Christ. They're not the one that we've been seeking. They're not, those things aren't Jesus. It's not Jesus. You know, the worship, everything, we've come to see Christ. What do you seek? We're seeking the Lord. And we have to be careful that we tell people it's Christ that you need. It's the Lord Jesus and his grace and his truth. John wrote earlier, he said, Moses brought the law. Truth and grace was realized in Jesus Christ. We're no longer under a law of do this or do that. Look at John 6, or excuse me, John chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 1. After this, there was a festival of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Another word for the festival is the feast, and that's something that I'm pretty familiar with. Walking with the Lord in the Living Word Fellowship in Los Angeles and here in San Diego, Iowa, Shiloh, all that, there's many feasts. And there's a scripture that says, and once again, there was another feast. And I said, yeah, I wonder how he wrote that. Another one? there's another one we have to go to? So we go and all that. And early on, I was talking about how wonderful the feasts were and everyone getting together and all that. And I had a little Greek friend that said, well, whenever God's people get together, he's there. It changed my whole idea of what the feasts were about. The feasts weren't going up to be in L.A. and do what everyone else was doing and following in all those foot, trying to. A lot of time, we see people that we consider spiritual and we think, well, I'll just do and act and behave like they do and now maybe I can get that same spirituality. But the reality is where two or more are gathered in his name. He's in our midst. It's just something totally different. Let's look at what Jesus did when he went to the feast. And Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Verse 2. Now in Jerusalem by the sheep gate there is a pool called in Hebrew Bethzatha, which has five porticos. In these lay many invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. They weren't in the feast. They weren't in the temple. One man was there who had been ill for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. And while I'm making my way, someone else steps down ahead of me." Get out of my way. Jesus said to him, "Stand up, take your mat, and walk." At once the man was made well, and he took up his mat and began to walk. Now that day was a Sabbath. So the Jews said to the man who had been cured, "It is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your mat." But he answered them, "The man who made me well said to me, 'Take up your mat and walk.'" And they asked him, "Who is the man who said to you, 'Take up and walk?'" Now the man who had been healed did not know who it was. Well, gee, don't we have to prep a person first before they get touched by the Lord? Don't we have to have them? I know years ago it was the four spiritual laws, and there's little rules that you had to follow to bring someone to Christ, and here's the four spiritual laws, and Understand? This guy had no idea who it was who told him, get up and walk. And yet he still received his healing, not knowing who, not knowing the Lord. How much does God love us? Where he'll come out and reach and touch our hearts when we have no one else. And believe me, there is no one else. Earlier, Jeff said something during the worship. I wrote it down. I wrote it on my hand, so it's... Let's see if I can read my handwriting. Lift us out of this life. And that's what he does. Christ comes to the feast, and where does he hang out? With the blind, with the lame, and with the paralyzed. Some of us carry our scars and the things that we have on the outside. They're visible. Some have these things within us, not so visible. But didn't it say that Jesus knew? Isn't it wonderful you never have to explain to the Lord what you're going through? And even when we do, he knows. And he loves us so much that he forsakes our, I won't say forsake, but he doesn't go to the temple. He goes to where all the sick are. The kingdom of God is like a net. It's thrown out. And he just brings them all in. Jesus told the disciples, if Israel won't come, if the children of Abraham won't come to the wedding feast, go out on the highways and the byways. Bring in the lame. Bring in the halt, the crippled, the paralyzed. For such is the, you know, the children. For such is the kingdom of God. God's already given you a promise. You're a child. Such is the kingdom of God. You don't have to grow into any. You will. You'll grow into many things in the Lord. But, you know, children are the only ones that are referred to whose angels are facing God. It's pretty cool scripture. Okay. And Jesus had just, it says, been healed, did not know who it was. For Jesus had disappeared in the crowd that was there. Well, wait, let's stop. He healed this person. Let's create a religion around it. Can you imagine Jesus? This is Jesus. This is our Lord and Savior. Heals someone and then just walks away. He slips away. No fanfare. And isn't that just like the Lord to touch you? Kind of like in a secret thing of just you and him. But it's there for the whole world to see. And the Pharisees, later Jesus found him in the temple. So Jesus finally goes to the temple. He sees the man and says, see, you have been made well. Do not sin anymore so that nothing worse happens to you. The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. Therefore the Jews started persecuting Jesus because he was doing such things on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, my Father is still working and I am working. For this reason, the Jews were blessed beyond measure. No, it says we're seeking the more to kill him. Because he was not only breaking the Sabbath, but he's also calling God his own Father, thereby making himself equal to God. In one version, it says he doesn't follow the rules. I thought, what a perfect... You know, we talk a lot about atmosphere. I'm sure you've heard create an atmosphere for the Lord to move in. That means you got to open your spirit. No, that means you got to be lame and blind and halt. That's the atmosphere where Christ shows up. We don't need to have rules that tell us do this, do that, and then you'll be blessed. He's given us all things freely. Jesus is the one that makes changes in our lives. When people come and say, we say, it's Christ, it's not us. It's the Lord Jesus. He appears in our midst. He comes and he blesses us. Lord bless you. And it's real great to be here. Love you all. But amen.